Welcome to Sunrise, the radio outreach of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Join us for the next half hour as we take a personal and up-close look at the Word of God with Pastor Scott Richards. Join us now as our teacher continues his study. Here's Pastor Scott.
You could turn me in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6. And while you're turning there, you know, one of the most eye-opening, simple, and yet life-changing realities of the Christian life is that Christianity isn't a religion, it's a relationship. It's a relationship with the true and living God, our Lord Jesus Christ. And like any other relationship, if we say we have a relationship, it means that we have something in common. It also stands to reason that the more we have in common, the better that relationship is going to be. Well, when we take a look at the book of Jeremiah, I realize that for a lot of believers in Christ, there's probably a keep-out sign around Jeremiah because, quite frankly, it's a book that details certainly not one of the high watermarks in the history of God's dealings with his people. It's a book that deals with God's tough love. But it is also very clear, the more we go through the book of Jeremiah, how much the book of Jeremiah meant to Jesus, how much it informed his perspective, his point of view about what was important to him in life. We saw a classic example of this last week in Jeremiah chapter 6, and verse 16, where we read, "Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you'll find rest for your souls." Well, that phrase, rest for your souls, is very, very powerful indeed. Now, a number of these truths jumped out at us. Ask for the old paths where the good way is. We discovered that once again, you can take that old saying to the bank. If it's new, it ain't true, and if it's true, it ain't new. The way that God relates to his people has always been constant down through time. Some say, well, you know, in the Old Testament, it was all about keeping the law. No, in the Old Testament, it was all about giving God's people laws so they could see in vivid terms they weren't keeping them and that they desperately needed to turn to him to find forgiveness, not on the basis of confidence in their good deeds, but confidence in God's love. Confidence in his mercy. We discover in passages like Hebrews chapter 11 that God has always had the same simple, succinct way of saving people, and that is simply by putting our faith and trust in what he would do for us. Now, again, that's the old path. It was the path that saved Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was the path that saved Moses, the path that saved Joshua, Daniel. The list goes on. It's the path that saves us. And notice where this path leads. Ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it, then you will find rest for your souls. So we camped on that particular passage last week, if you were with us. A beautiful statement of Jesus. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden's light. You know, I love that passage of Scripture because contrary to the message that oftentimes gets portrayed to us in church or in Christian circles, Jesus never said, come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden, I'm going to give you something really heavy to carry. No, Jesus came to lift the burden of legalism, to lift the impossible attempt of us to try to somehow build our stairway to heaven on the basis of our own merits, our own good works, our own attempt to try to jump a chasm 26 miles across. Some of us might make it farther than others, but none of us are going to make it to the other side unless God gives us rescue. And what a beautiful and glorious and amazing thing it is when we simply let go of trying to justify ourselves, of trying to prove to ourselves and others that we really are all that in a bag of chips, when we stop playing to the crowd and decide to live our lives in light of an audience of one, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's where you find rest. That's where you find refreshment. And if what you call your Christian experience is something that, leads to, instead of a succession of miracles, a succession of Malox moments, if you're constantly worrying whether you're going to measure up or not, may I suggest to you, it's probably because you've got your eyes on your own good works. And as soon as you do that, I've got a prediction for you. I don't know if it's a prophecy, but it's certainly a prediction. If you get your eyes on your performance for God rather than Jesus' performance for you, you just bought a ticket to the biggest spiritual roller coaster in the universe. Because some days you're going to feel like you did well, and other days you're going to feel like you bottomed out. Some days you're going to feel saved and sure and secure in terms of your hope of heaven. And other days you're going to feel like you are on a one-way elevator to the other place going down. There's only one way off that elevator. Get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes off your service. Get your eyes off of trying to find some kind of justification by playing to the approvals of others. And get your heart and your mind on Jesus. His yoke is easy. His burden's light. And if what you call your Christian service is some crushing burden, it's not the Lord's burden. It's yours. And so important for us to find that spiritual rest. And right here in the book of Jeremiah, this book that allegedly is so harsh and so demanding and so difficult, we find the pathway to understanding one of the most beautiful and liberating and glorious promises that Jesus ever made in Matthew chapter 11. And so we went over that. You can again get that CD or access that teaching online and dig deep into all of that. Stand by in the ways and see. Ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Then you'll find rest for your souls. But, boy, verse 16 ends with a very sad and sorry word. But they said, we will not walk in it. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Now, notice in verse 17, here we see another very important aspect of what it meant to be called to be a prophet of God. You know, early on in my walk with God, I thought, wow, you know, what a wonderful thing it would be to have been one of the prophets. Boy, what a privilege to have the Lord speak to you and to be able to relate those messages. And certainly, the people that God used as prophets were blessed. Certainly, we would count them blessed if we were to happen to run into them someday when we meet them in heaven. But boy, what a responsibility God gave to these prophets. Notice that the word here, I've set watchmen over you. The term watchmen there would refer to individuals that would walk about on the walls of the city, especially by night, and keep an eye out for oncoming enemies. It was an individual that was basically going to work with the idea that, I've got to stay awake and alert because there are those out there that mean us harm. You know, I worked as a watchman for a while. Maybe you have in your work career during the 1984 Olympics when I was in seminary, and it was definitely the top ramen and Kraft macaroni and cheese days for me. I was looking for any way to try to make some money, and a friend of mine said, hey, guess what? They're hiring security guards for the 1984 Olympics. And I said, well, I don't have any experience. No problem. Just come on down to this meeting. And they showed this video about what you do as a security guard. They gave us a neat uniform with a beret that you would wear so you look somewhat European. And I got assigned to do the graveyard shift at Pepperdine University. And I want to tell you something. Being a watchman there, the biggest struggle, the biggest problem was staying awake. Because usually on your shift, not a whole lot would happen. And because of that, because it was just keeping your eyes open. And they told us that our job was to simply watch. If you saw something happening, you weren't supposed to intervene. You weren't supposed to play the hero. You had a walkie-talkie. You were supposed to call it in, and then they would handle it. We were just to be eyes and ears. The most exciting thing that happened in my whole experience being a security guard there in Malibu was it was the last night I was there, the day before the Olympics were to end, my last shift, and some guy climbed over the fence with a hacksaw and tried to cut down one of the flagpoles so he could get an Olympic flag. Now, I don't know how inebriated this person was to come up with the system worked like a charm. We called it in. The police arrived. Person with the hacksaw went off to jail. But the whole idea was to keep your eyes and your ears open. And if something happened, to call in and immediately and report it. You had to be awake in order to be aware of what was going on. And for the most part, it seemed like deadly dull duty until something like that happened. You hear somebody hacksawing down a metal flagpole, and it's very much an adrenaline rush. Well, that's what a watchman was all about. And these watchmen would walk on the walls and make sure that the people that were sleeping had nothing to worry about, at least while they were on their shift. Now, notice God says, I've got watchmen. He said, I also set watchmen over you, referring to the people of Israel, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. Now, this idea of being a watchman and the heaviness of this responsibility is further detailed for us in the career of another watchman from roughly the same era. His name was Ezekiel. And in Ezekiel chapter 3, this whole idea of being a watchman is further described for us. In Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 16, we read this. Now, it came to pass at the end of 7 days, that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked ways to save his life, that same wicked man will die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because you did not give him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I'll require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning, and you have also delivered your soul. Now, notice what God was saying to Ezekiel. What Ezekiel was saying is, if you're ever tempted, Ezekiel, to say, well, you know, my faith's a personal thing. If you're ever tempted to see somebody that you know is going down a dead-end road where the bridge is out ahead, and you go, well, let them figure it out themselves. I certainly don't want to offend them. I certainly don't want to ruin the party. And you keep the message of Christ to yourself. Well, you know, the Bible says that's a very serious, serious thing in the eyes of God. You see, we are put here to be watchmen. And you say, well, isn't this an Old Testament concept, Scott? That sounds a little heavy for me. I think I'll just leave it there in the Old Testament and kind of ignore it. You know, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, they're all books I don't read very often. Well, how about the book of Acts? In the book of Acts, chapter 20, we see the Apostle Paul was motivated by a very similar awareness of not only the incredible privilege and power of the gospel, but the responsibility that comes with it. You know, if anything has come out of the Marvel Superman movies, it was the immortal line in the Spider-Man series where Spider-Man's Uncle Ben said to him, "With great power comes great responsibility." Well, the Apostle Paul certainly understood that without having to go see some popcorn-chewing flick. In Acts chapter 20, we could probably start there in verse 26, the Apostle Paul was giving his farewell orders to a group of believers from Ephesus, the leaders of the Ephesian church. And he said this before he departed, "And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I've gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all men, for I've not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now, notice what Paul was saying here. I've been put in a place where I'm a watchman over your souls. I haven't shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Now, that phrase, the whole counsel of God, is really near and dear to those of us who serve in Calvary Chapel circles. There are those who say, well, why do you guys teach verse by verse through the Bible? You know, I've had people say, I've never been in a church that does that. Do you do this every week? Well, yeah, we do. Why? Because someday I'm going to stand before God and give an account for what happened here, for my ministry here. And I want to be able to stand before the Lord someday and to be able to say to the Lord, I did not shun to declare to the flock that you gave to me the whole counsel of God. That's why we're studying the book of Jeremiah. And you know, there's a real security there. If, like a lot of places, we just decided to do topical messages and series based on felt needs, you know, I'm sure we could do Pack the Pew Night as a result of those sort of things, but there's a couple problems. First of all, I know how fallen and sinful I am. You see, if we were doing topical stuff, I know I would gravitate towards topics that I like to preach on. I would tend to share with you those passages of Scripture that really kind of naturally light my fire. And yet you wouldn't get a picture of the whole Word of God. The other side of it is this, and I love teaching verse by verse for this reason. It's a safeguard for me, but it's also, in a sense, a safeguard from criticism. Because sometimes we will be in a section of Scripture, and Jeremiah is loaded with these kind of landmines, let me tell you, where people are going to get offended. People are going to hear something they just really don't want to hear. And they'll come up to me and they'll say, I really didn't appreciate that message. I came to church and this is what I wanted to hear, and you were just talking about Jeremiah here and all this other stuff. And I'll say, hey, I didn't write it. I'm just here to tell you what it says. If you got a problem with it, take it up with the author. But you see, that way, I'm not the one who's trying to figure out what you need to hear. God already figured that out. Much simpler for me just to say, all right, we're in Jeremiah chapter 6. Let's let it rip, Lord. Whatever you want to say to your people, say to your people. But understand, there's a seriousness to all of this. And, if you're ever even considering getting involved in any teaching capacity in the church, good on you. You know, the Bible says if anyone desires the office of an overseer, they desire a good work. But the Bible also tells us that it's not something to be treated trivially. It's not something where you can just say, well, this is what this verse means to me and kind of go on and, you know, bloviate for a while. Quite frankly, when I hear somebody say, this is what this verse means to me, if what you're saying when you say this verse means this to me is that this verse is meaningful to me, this verse means a lot to me, that this is how God has used this verse in my life to encourage me, man, great, right on, share away. But if you're saying, well, you know, this is kind of my take on it, and this is what I think it means, and, you know, I read it 10 minutes before the Bible study, so I'm going to just kind of see what comes to my mind, I really don't care, quite frankly, what that verse means to you. You know what I care about? I care what that verse means to God, because he's the one who wrote it. And I want to be able to share faithfully, realizing that Jesus is paying attention specifically to what we're sharing here tonight. So this whole idea of being a watchman is a very important key concept in understanding what a safe ministry is all about. If a ministry is about promoting a particular place, a program, or a pastor, boy, you're on shaky ground. But if it's on being accountable, sharing what God would have to say to his people without fear or favor, going through the entire Word of God, in context, in the sense that we are all under the same authority, you, me, everybody. We are all under the authority of Jesus Christ, who's the head of the church, as he reveals what his plans are for the church through his inspired word. We are all watchmen, and we are all being watched. How's that? God watches us. He sees how we behave in church. And so, in this very specific set of circumstances, Jeremiah was called to be a watchman, but more than just a watchman in the sense of just a spiritual sense. A watchman, even in terms of a practical sense, because as you know, Jeremiah's whole mission and ministry was to say to the people of Israel, trouble's coming. It's coming out of the north. The Babylonians are on their way. And just like a watchman watching for enemies on the wall, Jeremiah had that same kind of practical aspect to his ministry as well. Verse 17, also I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Therefore, hear, you nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people, the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words nor my law, but have rejected it. Now, very interesting. Here we see God saying, hear, you nations, take a look at what's going on here. In other words, God wanted the nations to learn a lesson from Israel. Their negative experience could possibly be used by God to allow other nations to see just what a dead end it is to turn your back on the Lord and to try to do things your own way. In other words, take a look at this. And I think there's an important practical insight for us here. Each and every one of us is being watched. Did you know that? Not just by God, but by other people. Each and every one of us, the moment you let slip that you're one of those born-again Christian types, guess what? You are being watched. You know, and it might not seem fair to you that you're being watched. It might seem unfair to you that you are seemingly held to a higher standard than everybody else. But the minute you make the claim that the Spirit of the living God dwells in you, that you are a born-again believer, that God has given you a brand new life in Christ, I guarantee you, people are going to start watching, and they have every right to expect to see a difference.
Scott Richards of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson. Be sure to join us again at this same time as we continue our journey through the entire Bible here on Sunrise. We'd also like to extend an invitation for you to join us for worship and the study of God's Word. Calvary Christian Fellowship is located on the northwest side of Tucson. Just go one block west of Interstate 10 on Prince Road and then two blocks north. Service times are 9 and 11 a.m. on Sundays. Our midweek Oasis service gets underway every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Our video extension campus meets in Oro Valley every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. at the Lehman Academy. To join us, go one block north of Tangerine on La Cañada Road. To personally connect with us or to order an audio copy of what you heard on today's broadcast, visit our website at calvarychristianfellowship.com. That's calvarychristianfellowship.com. If you have questions concerning Calvary Christian Fellowship, the Bible, prophecy, or personal issues in your walk with God, be sure to join Pastor Scott live on this station for A Reason for Hope every Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Well, thanks again for joining us, and be sure to be listening at the same time for more of Sunrise with Scott Richards.